Om Shanti. This is the Avyak Murli revision of the 22nd of September 2019. Only those who are conquerors of Maya and conquerors of matter become those with a right to self-sovereignty. I think that almost all Brahmins would be very attracted to this idea of self-sovereignty, even though I'm not sure how many of us would even have thought of this word or known this word before Gyan. So it's a very beautiful concept that Baba introduces us to, and in introducing it to us, he verifies that such a state of being not only exists, but it has value. Old souls would have been those who don't like to be influenced. Old souls are those who like to stand for high principles and feel defeated if they fail their own higher standards. These were the kinds of experiences we had even before Gyan. But after Gyan, with the introduction of this term, we understand even more what we were defeated in every time we acted in a manner which was less than our ideals. It's this. We were defeated in our ability to continually stand up for what we believe in a very non-violent yet powerful way. Now we understand that it is right to imagine that not only do I not need to be influenced, but I can be someone who influences others, because all of these things are the expression of the self-sovereign. I look at Baba. He is the primary example of the self-sovereign, not just because he comes into the drama completely free and constantly independent from all the things we souls, his children, have been saying and doing, often in his name, which are so contrary to truth. But not just does he remain so uninfluenced, but he comes into the drama with the specific purpose of being an alternate influence. So it's an interesting aspect of becoming like the Father to appreciate that my interest in being a self-sovereign is very connected, consciously or unconsciously, to my interest in being on service to humanity in a very particular way. Be on service to humanity by providing another example of thinking, of speaking, and most particularly acting. I think when we first come into Gyan, that's all very clear. We feel so validated that we were right in wanting to stay independent from the way others do everything. We were right to have ideals and to aim for those ideals all the time. And we were thrilled, I think, many of us, to discover that to walk around with those kind of ideals and those kind of aims for our life actually made us useful to society, that we could learn to do this in such a way that everyone would benefit from it, just like everyone benefits from a garden that's been well tended to and finally blossoms and there's beauty and fragrance. in the beginning, we really have that enthusiasm. And we hit the books, so to speak. We begin our effort-making life with a lot of enthusiasm. But I think Baba has to speak Murlis like this one, talking to us a lot about self-sovereignty. Because if we're honest, as time goes by, something happens to that enthusiasm if we're not very careful. We become influenced. Perhaps it's the influence of our own old sanskars and nature as we begin to realize the power of Maya, how she works. And we might feel sometimes too much challenged by our old programmings. So that exerts its influence and we might lose that enthusiasm a little bit. We might have expectations of this gathering. We might have been so intoxicated to have finally found good company, imagining, as we did before Gyan, that good company means the people you surround yourself with. And yet, because our Brahmin brothers and sisters are on a journey just as I am, and are in a process aiming for perfection but are not yet perfection, then when these expectations are not met, we could be influenced, we could lose our enthusiasm for the gathering. Or as we grow older in Dhyan, we take up more responsibilities and service, we might become very influenced by the challenge of working together in teams. People who don't agree with my ideas, the huge variety of opinions for doing any particular or putting into action any particular idea. This also can become so challenging, and my enthusiasm is decreased. I lose my enthusiasm even for service because of the challenges in learning how to work together as a team, or I should say as spiritual comrades, who must work together in harmony and unity if the task is to be truly successful. So we're affected by the sanskaras of others, so many different things as time goes on serve to threaten our level of enthusiasm. So what to do when this is going on? What to do when this is happening? Because I think a very important indication of my spiritual health, a very important indication of my spiritual progress, is my ability to stay enthusiastic about my own self, my own efforts, about the gathering, and about service. So I think it's at those moments when we feel that enthusiasm decreasing, or we become aware that our degree of enthusiasm is declining. This is exactly the time that we need to take up this whole concept that Baba has introduced us to, the status, the reality of being a self-sovereign. What is a self-sovereign? What are the words that we use to define the self-sovereign? We say the self-sovereign is free. the self-sovereign is independent from the influences that are external, negative influences that are internal. The self-sovereign stands alone, very capable, a huge ability to exist specifically according to his or her own choice. The self-sovereign has mastered the self. The self-sovereign has taken back control of the organs, physical and subtle. The self-sovereign is no longer a slave to the mind, to the sanskaras. The self-sovereign is the master. She's taken charge again of all her faculties. So the real question is, when I understand that I've entered a kind of phase where my enthusiasm is on the decline, the real issue to visit is, what is the aim of my studies? And how much do I agree and accept the methodology Baba outlines for us to reach that aim? Baba needs kings, emperors for the golden age. And we've understood that I will be a candidate for that golden age emperor or golden age kingship only to the extent that I become a ruler of the kingdom of the self first. This I've understood. We've understood. But the question is, how much have I decided that the method to become that king is to become the self-sovereign now? It's one thing to have understood the methodology. It's another thing from time to time to check in on that commitment. Do I want to be a self-sovereign? With all the learning curves and challenges that involves, how much do I want to be a self-sovereign? Because it's a lot easier not to be self-sovereign. It's a lot easier to make others responsible for maintaining the peace, creating harmony. It's a lot easier to put the blame on the sanskaras and programmings and conditionings of other people instead of going deep within the self. Sometimes it feels like you're going deep with a hot needle and touching the old programmings and conditionings, my own sanskaras of ego, my own sanskaras of insecurity, desires, neediness, which are really at the cause of conflict or distress in a relationship or a connection. Because the first step in being a self-sovereign is to accept responsibility, accept that it is my responsibility to create peace, harmony, and a pure, constructive atmosphere. And this at every moment. So these are questions to put ourselves to again and again, especially in times of intense learning curves or any challenges to our stage. What is the value to me of being a self-sovereign? Do I want to be a self-sovereign? And also, most importantly, why? Why do I want to be a self-sovereign? How much have I understood that becoming a self-sovereign is one of the first steps in becoming like the Father, so full with all virtues, qualities, powers, that I can remain independent from any influences around me, and on the contrary, I can exert a counter-influence. I have found that as much as I'm able to stay connected to my interest and my reasons for becoming a self-sovereign, to that extent, I'm more easily able to maintain a good degree of enthusiasm. And once again, see the importance of enthusiasm, not just a measure of my spiritual health and progress, but Baba even called it in today's Murli, wings. Zeal and enthusiasm are the wings that can keep me flying. And flying is so good whenever there are obstacles as big as mountains. In other words, this call to self-sovereignty, the reminder, the invitation of becoming the self-sovereign, is really an invitation to keep our eye on the much larger picture of it all. I think our enthusiasm is the first thing to suffer whenever we get lost in the stories, lost in the stories instead of being detached enough to enjoy the story and enjoy our particular part of continually bringing purity and truth back into the story. I would also like to mention a few points about how. Baba was saying to us that we must not renounce the vices, but we need to transform them. It's these vices that pull me out of my self-sovereignty. So it is important to have a lot of understanding and a lot of good practices for being able to transform these vices. Baba indicated the transformed state of each one of these vices. So, for example, ego is really all about pure pride, or rather than a fire of anger, why not the fire of yoga, which could often be interpreted as the fire of love. So, how will this transformation happen? Here, I think that the main thing that Baba's always pointing out to us is that this transformation process is nothing less than a purification process, and that the most powerful aspect of purifying the soul is to focus on and to cultivate the pureness that exists in the soul originally and eternally. In other words, not to be focusing on the ego, on the lust, on the greed, etc., as much as I give time to studying, understanding, experiencing, also applying pure feelings and good wishes, selfless altruistic sharing. In other words, the virtues, the qualities, the powers inherent in I, the soul. in this way, I've come to see that one of the main ways for overcoming Maya is through realization, deepened realization of the self, the partnership with God, and even deeper realization of Maya. Maya would love us to use our mind and the power of thought to dwell on our own weaknesses, to worry about our own weaknesses. But Maya's defeated when I refuse that, when I reject that. And as soon as any kind of flow or stream of thought dealing with the negative, any kind of energy within me which moves along on that lower level actually has to just be stopped. Or, as Baba was saying in today's Murli, upgraded, transformed. In other words, I have to introduce into my mind a counter flow based on knowledge, based on gyan and yoga. I have to use my mind to keep cultivating virtue, keep cultivating truth. This is what purifies. It's so interesting, this word transform. As if when Baba tells us that we have to transform, for example, ego to pure pride, how interesting to think that we're transforming something back to its original stage. It's not that we start out with ego and now it has to be upgraded to pure pride. Baba tells us that originally and eternally there is only pure pride. It was transformed into ego. As we moved through the cycle, entropy set in, we lost consciousness, we lost understanding, we lost our beauty. So there was as if a first transformation, a transformation of loss. And now what we're doing is just transforming it back to the original. It's an interesting way of understanding the vices, that the seed of ego, the seed of ego is actually something very good, pure pride, which just went bad for lack of appropriate nutrients. That the seed of attachment, the kind of attachment we see today, which creates so many difficulties in relationships. But to think that the seed of that is something very good, how I, the soul, experienced a very beautiful, a very constructive kind of attachment in my life. And that is when in the last cycle I attached myself to God. That kind of attachment enables service, instead of creating obstacles in service. How interesting to think that the seed of lust is originally just the desire to connect with others in pure feelings and good wishes. And that now it's time to come back to that kind of interaction with each other. And even how the seed of anger could be the expression of caring, of wanting things to be good for others, of wanting things to be good for myself. In other words, a kind of loving others and loving myself, which just lost all its power. And this is why Baba doesn't want us to renounce the vices, Because if we renounce the vice, it's like we're throwing out not just the thorn, but the seed. Instead, we need to understand the seed, keep giving our attention to the seed, have realization of who I really am, and keep confronting all those vices, all those negative programmings and conditionings and patterns of thought and attitudes and speech and behavior with this ultimately idealistic, very high truth. I can face all of that with just the simple reminder that I can do better and that God Himself is here to help me do better. That's also an aspect of realization. To realize how much God is present now in my life exactly for this purpose, to help me nurture the seed. Seeds of truth in me. It's why He wants me to remember Him alone, and that this is the first Srimad, because He alone can provide such a steady, unwavering example of the truth that I so seek to be nurturing in myself. Not just that keeping Him in front of me and seeing Him in front of me provides that model, but it also enables me to come into that wavelength and receive, accept all His pure, powerful energies of truth, which is called receiving His love. So we overcome all this Maya through the power of realization, because especially realizing the beautiful, truest self and the beautiful part that God is playing now to restore that truth in myself, this is actually to work with the power of truth. And faith in this? Faith that it is now the time for truth to win, that now it's the time for virtue, quality, peaceful, loving interactions, energies, that's what's going to win. Faith in that is the way for victory to be experienced in my life very easily. Finally, I would just like to add one more point regarding service. Baba gave another very clear indication of the expression of the true self-sovereign. In addition to a healthy degree of enthusiasm, Baba was also indicating a healthy degree of pleasure in service. He was saying serviceable ones are those who constantly experience the pleasure of service, that a serviceable life means a life of pleasure, and that those who see those who constantly stay in pleasure themselves also begin to experience pleasure in their lives. So this is what service is about. And so how much am I clear on this concept? Service now in the chapter that the Yagya is in, the point in the cycle that we're all at, service that involves conflict, creates conflict, creates confusion, creates bad feelings, divides the family, instead of working to create harmony, unity, a pure, peaceful atmosphere. That kind of service would not be service. It's not service. It's disservice. Service that involves that kind of negativity can't be justified.
Perhaps in the past we did justify it, but it can no longer be justified at all by anything. The spiritual, true self-sovereign has understood this. She's understood what it means and what's required to be a world benefactor. She's understood that the confluence age is for cultivating sanskaras of joy, and that it's my personal responsibility to create that stage of intoxication, pleasure, happiness, joy. And I'll finish with a favorite expression of mine, which is that happiness is a daily decision. I would upgrade that expression a little bit according to my experiences of our Brahman effort-making life in the phase we're currently in. And I would say that actually happiness is not just a daily decision, but a second-by-second choice, which the self-sovereign is required to make. Om Shanti.